In the name of the glorious Trinity, Father and Son and Holy Spirit, forever. Amen. Glory be to the everlasting mercies which sent you to us, O Christ, the light of the world and the life of all. Give us wisdom by your law and enlighten our impulses by your knowledge. Sanctify our souls by your truth and grant that we may be obedient to your words and may fulfill your commandments at every hour. O you who enlightens the rational with the knowledge of your greatness, do enlighten, O my Lord, our thoughts, that we may meditate upon your holy and divine scriptures at all times, O Lord of all, Father and Son and Holy Spirit forever. Amen. In the Gospel of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, according to the proclamation or the preaching of Matthew, chapter 7, verse 26, Jesus our Lord instructs, "And everyone who hears these my words," that is the Holy Scriptures, "but does not practice them," put them in practice, act upon them, do them, "will be likened to the foolish man, and woe to the man who is seen foolish in the eyes of God." St. James simplifies it in chapter 1, verse 22, "But be a doer of the word," a practicer of the word, "and not only or mere hearer, and do not deceive yourself." Let's put these into practice. Let's have a look at some of the examples. As what are we talking about here? What are the scriptures instructing us? Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, listen to this very carefully. See, the reason why I tell you to listen, because we are now hearing these words. "But I say to you, love your enemies." Yeah, right, here we go. Well, if we dare, if we have so much courage to say that to the Holy Scriptures, and this is our response and our reaction to the Holy Scriptures, God help. "But I say to you, love your enemies and bless the one who curses you, and do what is beautiful to the one who hates you, and pray over those," or pray for those, "who take you by force and persecute you." Now, when we read these scriptures, face value, they are not common. Obviously, in this most wicked world, these are not common acts of man, be it Christian, non-Christian, what have you. To love your enemies and to bless the ones who curse you. Why is Jesus asking this? Why is he instructing this? Because you know what? Let's put it very simply. Whatever our enemies, whatever our enemies do to us, and the worst they can do is kill the body, we love them, because when you die for Christ, you live with Christ in the kingdom of heaven. If you die for Christ on earth, you live with Christ in the kingdom of heaven. So hearing these words, we must put them in practice. If right now our reaction, our response to this verse is, "Well, that's not how I feel, that's not common, that's not realistic," well, let me take you back to Matthew 7, 26. Hearing it and not doing it, we are fools in the eyes of God. We're only fooling ourselves too. I mean, St. James says this, you're fooling yourselves. You think you have a relationship with God. You think you are obeying God. You believe you love the Lord, but we truly don't. We're fooling ourselves. In Mark chapter 11, verse 25 to 26, Jesus again says, "And whenever you stand to pray, forgive whatever you have against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven may also forgive you your faults. But if you are not forgiving, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your faults or your sins." Let's do a little exercise. This is going to be a practical episode. Those who are sitting down and listening to this podcast at home, in their office, in the park, wherever, raise your hands if you have no faults. Those who are driving their car, if you're listening to this podcast and you're driving, honk your horn if you have no faults or no sins. If there are two or three amongst each other listening to this podcast, admit to one another, confess to one another, if you believe that you have no faults and you have no sins. Well, I'm sure I'm 99.9% confident that no one has raised their hand or honked their horn or has confessed that they are sinless or have no fault. That 0.01%, you must be venerated to the saintly orders because you've completed, you're now complete in Christ. But then again, those who think that they are sinless and faultless, let me rain on your parade. In the first epistle of Saint John, the disciple, 1 John chapter 1 verse 8, John tells us that if we shall say that we do not have sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So Jesus is telling us that we need to forgive the sins of those who have sinned against us and have hurt us. We need to pray for them. Otherwise, when we have ascertained that we are not faultless and sinless, we too have faults and sins. When we go to the Father and we ask the Father to forgive, let me read the scripture again. Mark 11, 25, 26. This is how, see, right now we're pondering on this. We're not just reading and praising the Lord and agreeing with them. We want to see where we stand with this. If we have fallen, let's stand and continue to stand in these scriptures. If we are standing in these scriptures, continue and praise God. And whenever you stand to pray, when we come to pray, this is what Jesus is telling us, forgive whoever has sinned against you, basically, so that your Father in heaven shall do that. Because if you don't, and this is not a scare tactic, beloved. This is not Kasha Jenard or Priest Jenard telling you that, listen, if you don't come to church, I will not do this or not do that, and I will not grant you this. And then 2 months later, you know what? I'm going to be, you know, compromising. I'll compromise it. Because why? Because I'm a fool and I'm weak. My judgment is weak, but God's judgment and righteousness is complete. It's perfect. So when Jesus says, but if you are not forgiving, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your faults, my God. I stand corrected. I stand condemned now with this verse. But what do I do? It's not the end of the world. And I've always said, I need to correct this. I need to come to the Lord, beat my breast and say, Lord, have mercy on me, for I am truly a sinner. Help me to gain that courage, that love. Help me to gain that eagerness to be obedient to your words, that I may forgive those who have sinned against me. And I know it's not easy. We're going to talk about that. I'm not going to be a hypocrite and tell you, yes, it is. It is what it is. You need to do it. You know, Adrena, apply it. Apply it, Rabbi. We'll apply it. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 24, he continues, for he who says, I know him, and let me dare to add, I love him, I obey him, I praise him, I want to be with him, I want him to be a part of my life, to take my heart in his hands and lead me, and I want to offer my love, my life to my Lord. For he who says I know him and does not keep his commandments is lying, there's a sin, and the truth is not in him. So let me ask every one of us, myself first, Stephen, Adrena, the producers, and you, beloved listeners. Do you love the Lord? Do you want to obey the Lord? Do you feel the desire to obey the Lord and commit to the Lord? Well, we need to keep his commandments. Jesus said, if you love me, You don't need to do dukhrane. You don't need to pay your membership on time and be the first to pay your church subscriptions. And you need to go and help people and do your charitable deeds. If you love me, first obey my commandments. And in his commandments, everything that I've spoken about is entailed. St. Paul, in his epistle to the Romans, chapter 12, verse 2, he's begging. You know when someone begs? Adrena, when I say to you, and I'm your priest, I'm your spiritual counselor, Adrena, I beg you. How much am I trying to stress and emphasize that I want from you? This is truly a life and death matter. And it is. I beg you, therefore, Paul says to the Romans, the Gentiles, my brethren. So now they're not Gentiles. Now they were the Gentiles who accepted Jesus Christ. Because when we read in the Gospels or the epistles, brethren, it is the faithful. I beg you, therefore, my brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God by a logical service. And do not imitate this world. These are the scriptures. These are the words of Jesus Christ. These are the words of the Holy Spirit. Let me remind you again, Matthew 7:26, and everyone who hears these my words, you may say, oh no, these are the words of mere men. St. Paul was not Jesus Christ. St. Paul was moved by the Holy Spirit to write this. So these words are the words of God. So right now we are hearing these words of God. By the mercies of God, that you present or offer your bodies living sacrifices, holy and acceptable or pleasing to God by a logical service. And do not imitate this world, the trend, the norm, the philosophy, the ideology, the Hollywoodology. Do not imitate this world, but be transformed by the renovation of your minds, and you then shall distinguish what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Here is scripture. Here is the word of God. Where do you, my brother, and most importantly, my sister, my dear sister, where do you stand with this scripture? You just heard it. Now, let's go back to another exercise. Raise your hands if you're now agreeing and amen and praise the Lord. Honk your horn if you love this verse. You know, talk to one another. Oh, I love this verse. Are we doers of the words? If not, we're hypocrites. We're fools in the eyes of God. St. John Chrysostom writes, and I love St. John Chrysostom. I think I've already proven that, because in every episode, almost every episode, I comment or I use St. John Chrysostom's comments. I refer to his commentaries. How is the body to become a sacrifice? Here it is, Adrena. Put it in practice. How is the body to become a sacrifice? Simple. Matthew 5:29. He goes on to say, let the eye look on no evil thing, and it has already become a sacrifice. What do you mean, evil thing? Well, open your laptop, get on your phone now, and you start scrolling, you start surfing the net, you start scrolling the Instagrams and the Snapchats and Facebooks, and you'll see the evil things that St. John Chrysostom is referring to. Jesus said in Matthew 5:29, this is his quote, by the way, this is his backup verse, which, if I may say, if your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. It's best to enter the kingdom of heaven with two eyes, no eyes, than to enter into eternal hell with the whole body intact. Let the tongue say nothing filthy, and it has become an offering. Proverbs 10:31, the mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom, and a perverted tongue will be cut out. Cussing is now the norm. But I told you, I went back. Not the norm. Where is it? Let me find that scripture again. If I had, here it is. And do not imitate this world, the trend, the norm, the philosophy. Oh, you know what? It's cool to cuss. It's a norm now. It's natural now. Well, this is imitating the world. And if we want to imitate the world, then we will end up where the world is ending up, in eternal fire, where St. Paul says that every element of this world will burn in eternal fire. Let your hand do nothing evil, and it has become a whole burnt offering. And he goes on to say, but even this is not enough, for we must have good works also. Saint Paul writes to Timothy, and I think it goes hand in hand with this verse, 2 Timothy 2:21, if a man will purify himself from these things, the norm of the world, he is a pure vessel for honor, suitable for the use of his Lord and ready for every good works. And it all comes down to reading the word, agreeing with the word, praising God for the word, obeying the word, and doing the word, putting it in practice. St. John goes on to say, the hand must do alms, the mouth must bless those who curse it, and the ears must find time to listen to the readings of the scriptures. And St. John Chrysostom quotes 2 Timothy 3:16, every writing, meaning every scripture, which is written by the Spirit, and who determines the scriptures that are being inspired by the Spirit? It's the church that determines this. It's profitable for teaching, for correction, for this direction, and for a cause in righteousness. This is the scripture. What are we going to do about this? I'm going to add this. Our social medias, and I always touch up on this. We just heard, we just read, we just agreed, I believe. Everyone raised their hand and honked their horn and discussed amongst one another that yes, that is scripture, that is the word of God, and the word of God is commanding us that we do not conform or do not imitate this world. Social media posts, social media pictures, social media comments. What's it? Is it a, what is it called, guys? It's on TikTok, I think. And you sit there and there's a song playing in the background and you sing that song. Is it Sing Along or something? Mary Had a Little Lamb or something, sure. Right? And the ball bounces. Is it? No, it's not. But it's like that. Okay. You know, and it never ceases to amaze me for me to sit there with my cross hanging out of my outside of my shirt and I'm singing along to a song. Every third or fourth word is a cuss song. So how do I claim that I am a Christian then? How can I claim that I am a doer of the word when the word is telling me that I should not imitate this world? Who cares? The owner of TikTok has given you this application and we are permitted. Who cares about that? My Lord teaches me, my scripture teaches me, the Holy Scriptures teach me that this is what the world, this is the pattern of the world. We should not confirm, we should not imitate. So yeah, you know what? If you have one of those posts, go and delete it now. Right now, you go and delete it and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Praise be to your name. I did not know, but this is how far I need to go. This is how serious we need to be with our faith. Otherwise, remain in the error that the world is leading us to, and we will continue to go to where the world will end up. The sites, the pages we engage in, the sites, the pages, the Instagrams, the Snapchats that we agree with we like. So now we've heard it. Now we know that the scriptures are quite clear of our social media living. What are we going to do about that, beloved? The onus is on you now. The onus is on you to expand and understand and comprehend and put in action. Yes, I'm serious. If you know, if right now your conscience is convicting you because the post that you have there, the picture that you have there is now convicting you, go now and remove it. Then you truly become a doer of the word. If you are now nodding your head in agreement, but do not do it, you are the son, according to Jesus' parable in Matthew 21:13, who said to his father, he will go to the vineyard and work, but he didn't go. If you are now somehow convinced, convicted, maybe somehow right now, not convinced and not convicted, maybe somehow right at this moment you don't see the point I'm trying to make, do not agree, do not comprehend fully at this very moment. However, you're not totally writing off this episode, and later on, through prayer and consultation, you take baby steps. And even if you do not master or you do not complete, you come to that completion, but you're striving now, you know, you want to delete, but you feel, well, I don't see anything wrong with that, Rabbi. Everyone else is doing it. So shall I, shan't I? But you know, you're striving. You're trying to get to that point where you say, no, for Christ's sake, I am a Christian. I represent Jesus Christ. I need to live a godly life. I'm going to delete. And eventually you get to that point. Notice I said strive. Jesus said strive to enter the narrow gate. This is your challenge now. And eventually you do it. Then you are that son that said, no, Father, I do not care to go. But then felt remorse and repented and went to the vineyard and worked there. You know, our feelings, our faith, our emotions, I can comfortably say that they are, in one way or another, a sacrament. You know, when we believe in Jesus Christ, we have faith in Jesus Christ. And then we come to church, partake in the Holy Eucharist, or we actually read the scriptures. Right now, we're listening to these words. You know, there's a sacrament at work now. It is the outward expression. Now, the outward expression is, I'm going to switch on this podcast. I'm going to listen to it because I believe in Jesus Christ. There's an expression of your faith. You know, when I walk into to my daughter's home, soon my own home, because they're moving in, Abel, my grandson, as soon as he sees me, an innocent child looks at me and goes, wow, that means Sawu, which means grandpa. Actually, Sawu means old man. What's up, old man? Yeah, exactly. Wow. And he comes out innocently with his arms open, runs to me. He's probably saying, oh, Wawa's going to give me something. We don't know if there's truly an emotion of love, a feeling of love for his Wawa. And I'm sure there is. He's an innocent child. But when I embrace him and I hug him, there is my expression of my love for my grandchild. That I can't just walk in and say, hi, Wawa, and then just go and do my own. I need to go and hug and kiss. I love you. Give me pacha, babu, wacha. And then he wants me to get on the ground and start singing the ends. Go marching one by one. He loves it, right? This is my expression of care and love to see him joyful. That's how I express it. A husband and wife, the feelings of love for one another. Sometimes it's portrayed through flowers, teddy bears, boxes of chocolate, long stem roses, honey, chayi, babe, my love, my soul, you know. These are expressions of love. Even further, the intimacy and a husband and wife have is an expression of their love. It's an outward expression, act of an inward desire, beloved. This is exactly the same with our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, our heavenly bridegroom. We read his instructions. We hear his instructions. His instructions are preached to us. His instructions are, taught us and have been interpreted to us. What do? Just by nodding our heads and saying, praise God, I believe, that is not enough. That's a head service we give, or just a lip service. But to actually put it in practice, or I will go on to say, to begin to put it in practice. I'm going to quote you Saint Augustine. He writes, "Neither I nor any other preacher can see into your hearts." Here I am preaching right now. I don't know who's listening. Thank you for your comments and God bless you. And please always glorify God. Always give glory to God. I don't know what's in your heart now. You could be mocking the word of God now. You could maybe, if you've switched off, you can't hear this anyway. But, you know, you could be totally in agreement or totally in disagreement. "Neither I nor any other preacher can see into your hearts, but God is looking. For nothing can be hidden from him. Do not deceive yourselves by coming eagerly to hear the word and then failing to do it." People ask for Bible studies left, right, and center sometimes. And the church must always, without any reluctance or without any delay, preach the word of God. Saint Augustine says, "Do not deceive yourselves and be coming eagerly to hear the word and then failing to do it. If it is a good thing to hear, it is as much better thing to do. If you do not hear, you cannot do, and therefore you will build nothing. But if you hear and do not do, then what are you building? Whatever you're building will be ruined." It is good to hear the word of God. It's comforting to hear the word of God. But is it comforting only for a small period of time? Is it the seed that fell amongst the rocks? It sprouted, but because there was no root, it died, it withered. How do we keep the word of God alive in our lives, in our hearts, in our everyday coming and going, is to do the word of God. And again, please, do not think that we need our horns to be immediately changed into halos. It takes time. It takes a process. But when we're ready to put the first step, to take that first step, and we rely on God, and we truly want to obey the Lord Jesus Christ, he assuredly has granted us and assured us that he is there for us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Praise and glory be to his holy name, now and at all times and forever. Amen. One last thing, please also don't forget to rate and review this podcast and share with your friends and family. If you'd like to suggest future episodes or give us detailed feedback, please visit the link in the description or on our Instagram, linktr.ee/double-edged sword. God bless you all.